My name is Abby Kiklovich Carlton, and I am a graduate student in the clinical psychology doctoral program at the University of Montana. And I wanted to recognize my colleague Nick Keck, who worked a lot on this presentation as well, but is actually presenting another project at this very same time, so he wasn't able to be here with me. My project is looking at the relationship between substance use and gambling behaviors, and also personality characteristics for college undergraduates. So overall, the availability of gambling is becoming more and more, it's becoming more and more accessible, especially with technology. People can now gamble on their cell phones, and it's becoming particularly popular for younger populations. And so they're estimating that the overall prevalence rate of pathological gambling is actually increasing. Particular to adolescents, 60 to 80% of adolescents have engaged in past year gambling behavior. 3 to 8% have serious problematic gambling. And 10 to 15% are at risk for developing gambling problems. Because of this, gambling problems is becoming a concern for public health professionals, especially in youth populations. We've also seen that youth with problematic gambling are also using substances and alcohol more regularly. And in turn, alcohol consumption is associated with different gambling behaviors that are more problematic. Also, personality characteristics have been shown to be related to substance preference, where different personality characteristics can be associated with different substance use. So we wanted to look at how all of these interact together for college students. So we're looking at personality characteristics, problematic gambling, and the amounts of money that people win and lose, and looking at those particularly with reference to the substances that they're using while gambling. So in detail, we were hypothesizing that individuals using illicit drugs and polydrug users would score higher on gambling severity and novelty seeking, and then also would report more problematic gambling behaviors. So we had a sample of psychology students from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and the University of Montana. The University of Montana is a little bit smaller, so we got some more participants from UNLV. They received course credit for participation. They had to be 18 years or older to consent to participate, and they had to have gambled at least once in the past year. And our definition of gambling was pretty broad, so any wagering of money on an unknown outcome. The study was an online survey, which consisted of demographic information, the South Oaks gambling screen. So for those of you that don't know much about gambling research, that's a pretty widely used gambling measure. The Cloninger temperament and character inventory for personality characteristics, and then a dissociative experiences scale, which I'm not really going to talk about here, but it was included. And then the gambling preferences and activity questionnaire was something that we created for this study, looking at types of gambling that people engage in, and then also substances that they use while engaging in those gambling activities. So because we had the two different samples, there were differences on ethnicity that was represented in the two different samples. So the UNLV sample and the UM sample had different ethnic groups represented there. Other than that, we didn't have any significant differences between the two samples. So the overall gender, we had 56% females and a mean age of 20 for our sample. So this is just looking at overall substance use. Participants were asked what substances they prefer to use while gambling, and then also what substances they prefer to use while not gambling. So if you look, I know it's hard to read all of these, but you don't really need to. The larger bars on the bottom are alcohol, nicotine, and cannabis, and those are used both pretty prevalently, both while gambling and while not gambling. The rest of the bars that are pretty small are their other more illicit drugs. Unfortunately, I do not have energy drinks on here, though it would be very interesting, because I'm sure many college students use energy drinks to stay up and gamble longer. So next time. So then to get a better look at this, we combined the other drugs into a poly drug using group, an illicit group, a nicotine group, and an alcohol group. And the nicotine and alcohol are, they reported only using nicotine and only using alcohol. A lot of the poly group is people using alcohol and nicotine. I have those broken down, but not here. And here you'll see there's a significant difference. There was an overall difference between drugs used while gambling and those used while not gambling. Also, you'll see differences for the illicit drug using group. More individuals are using illicit drugs actually while not gambling than they are while gambling. And the other significant difference was with nicotine, where more individuals report using nicotine while gambling. Okay, so we did have some qualitative responses. We asked people why they use different substances, and some of them were kind of interesting, so I thought I would show them to you. So for using while gambling for alcohol, it is relaxing and usually makes the experience more fun. And alcohol is free while gambling in many places. For nicotine, I still have control of myself and it helps me to concentrate. And for poly drug use, alcohol to be a bit assertive, nicotine just to do something, and pot just because I probably smoked it anyway. Then for use while not gambling, one individual said, these drugs slow down my thinking processes and make it harder to concentrate on whatever I'm trying to win. Smoking pot and gambling wouldn't be fun. If I were to use these drugs while gambling, it could make me forget what I am doing and how much money I've spent. And because MDMA is undeniably dangerous in public areas. Won't dispute that one. So then we broke these drug using groups up into individuals who did not use any drugs while gambling, those who use alcohol only, those who use nicotine only, and poly drug use, because that illicit drug use group was really small. You'll also notice that the nicotine group is pretty small as well, and so there aren't a lot of significant findings there, but I just wanted to include them so you could see where they were at. So when looking, comparing these groups on SOG scores, the problematic gambling scale, individuals in the poly drug group scored higher on gambling severity than the rest. And the significant post hocs were between the none group was significantly lower than the alcohol only, and the none group was smaller than the poly drug group. When we look at differences in personality characteristics, we find the poly drug group scores higher on novelty seeking, and the none group scores higher on harm avoidance, as you would expect. So we see post hocs here, actually the poly drug group was significantly higher than all the rest of the groups for novelty seeking. And for harm avoidance, the none group was significantly higher than the alcohol only group. Then when we look at gambling behaviors, we had a lot of different gambling behaviors and we just focused on their estimated amounts won and lost. So this was not a very strict measure of this. We just asked them to estimate how much they had won and how much they had lost in different time frames. So here we specifically looked at in the last week and the last month. So the bars going down are the amount that they have lost, and the bars going up are the amount that they had won in the past week and the past month. And the poly drug group estimated higher amounts lost in both the past week and the past month. And they were significantly greater amounts than the none group and the alcohol group on post hocs. I'm sorry, I keep making this microphone make weird noises. Okay, so in summary, more individuals prefer alcohol while nicotine while gambling than while not gambling. They equally prefer alcohol while gambling and while not gambling. More individuals prefer illicit drug use while not gambling than while gambling. Poly drug users scored higher on gambling severity and also on novelty seeking scales. The group who gambled without using substances scored highest on harm avoidance. And then the poly drug users estimated greater amounts of money lost. So some implications of this, there has been a recent trend for a lot of universities to have regulated gambling activities available in university centers, dormitories. Greek organizations will have. I went to undergrad at a pretty small university, and we had poker nights in all of the dorms, and I think a lot of people don't know whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing. Well, at least in this case, we're seeing that individuals who may otherwise be using illicit substances may be gambling in that regulated activity instead, which may be a good thing. And then also, in general, the poly substance use tended to have more problematic gambling behaviors, where they were losing more money, and these are also the individuals who seem to be higher in novelty seeking. So for prevention and treatment efforts, it may be advantageous for us to focus on this highly high-risk group and focus on their poly drug use and novelty seeking as part of kind of an overall treatment approach. For gambling and substance use. So that is it. Questions? None. All right. Thank you.